Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Fraud and dishonesty in South Africa's life insurance and investment sector has surged dramatically, with cases rising 46% over the past year and losses nearly doubling. This evening, I want to dive into why this is happening, what's being done in the fight back. And here to unpack this trend is Jean van Niekerk, convener of the Forensic Standing Committee at the Association for Savings and Investment South Africa. Jean, good evening. Thank you very much for joining us. Maybe give me an overview first on why fraud in the sector has risen so sharply over the past 12 months or so.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeremy. Listen, I think the largest contributor in terms of volume was certainly the remuneration fraud category. I think we spoke of this category last year as well. And this is largely where we see sales fraud. This is perpetrated by a number of agents, kiosk agents, advisors. So any place where a policy is being sold, we definitely saw a steep increase in the volumes there. But relatively, we didn't see a large increase in either the losses in that category. And promisingly so, seeing increases on the preventions, which shows that the controls are working.
But something still must be wrong with the system if stuff is getting through.
Absolutely. I think there's obviously some legacy platforms and legacy practices, if you will, that still prevail. There's obviously some counteracting elements that do play a part here. I mean, we've seen the larger, I would say almost the entire adult population of South Africa's information being compromised through data breaches.
Yes.
Credit bureaus and the likes, of course. International hacking syndicates are very much on the rise. We've seen them targeting public sector, of course. And we must acknowledge information is unfortunately too rapidly available through illicit sources, the dark web and the likes.
So let's talk about those hacking or criminal syndicates, Jean. Obviously, the role is on the rise. Would I be correct in saying that they would view insurers and investment companies as soft targets? And if that's the case, why?
I wouldn't say the hacking groups themselves. I would rather veer towards saying the individuals who consume the information from those hacking groups target both the insurance as well as the wider financial services sector. Why? To your later question, it's because information is the golden commodity. If you own somebody's information, you can try and take over their identity, and subsequently you can try and do something with it, such as taking products without their knowledge.
On the plus side, though, you mentioned that there are new detection techniques, that things have become a little bit better in combating it. What kind of detection technique, Jean, are we looking at, and how have they impacted your ability to catch fraud early? Because the earlier you catch it, I mean, obviously the better it is for everybody.
I think we've spoken about a few of these techniques and mechanisms in the past. The one thing that comes to mind for me, and I think our statistics are showing this, is that insurers are becoming better at detecting these elements up front. So if you look at our fraudulent application stats that the industry submitted, Elvate, the prevention value increased substantially from about 84 million to about 140 million. We also saw the losses reducing there. That does seem to insist that the industry is becoming better at detecting fraud at application stage or where the policies are being incepted, as opposed to only detecting it at claims or transactional stage.
So how are they doing that at the early stage? What specifically are they implementing in that respect?
It would be a few things. I would say that certainly authentication is becoming stronger. What I mean by that is your traditional identification and verification of your customer or your consumer. The likes of biometrics, two-factor authentication, and other mechanisms, of course, contribute to that. Later down the line, big data, data sharing, and as I've mentioned in the past, the forensic units that utilize the outcomes from those big data modules is certainly playing a big part. Simply put, how do you see that which the human eye would easily miss? How do you create connections between things, places, and otherwise to detect irregularity more effectively?
And John, is it easier for people to put in a fraudulent life insurance claim?
I would say that easy is probably a little bit of a stretch in the sense that the insurance companies are utilizing so many data sharing and third-party verification platforms. Listen, it doesn't take away from the fact that there could be bribery and corruption within the channels and the processes that life insurers rely upon. So what I mean by that is, you know, if you're doing a home affairs call, for example, unfortunately, we do see from time to time where through bribery, corruption, or other means, individuals are obtaining valid documents, albeit through fraudulent means. So it's gone through a valid process within a government department, but it has been done so through collusion in some cases. Whether it becomes easier in the sense of doing it, I think the stats are telling a very strong picture in the sense that we pay in excess of 800,000 claims per year, close to 40 billion rands on, And looking at the 4,300 odd cases that are identified as fraud, that does seem to suggest that it's a very small percentage of the base.
And John, one concerning trend I read from your report is murder for insurance payouts. So how common is this and how difficult is it to counter an extreme case like this?
Well, to start with the tail end of your question, I think it's a tremendously challenging element, especially where we see the elements of criminality enter. And especially in the cases where we see the loved ones or those nearest to the life assureds being the ones perpetrating the murders. I think in the broader context, and again, I think we had around about 2,600 cases rather of fraudulent claims or dishonest claims. And looking at the smaller percentile of, I believe it was 14 cases where murder was involved and the beneficiary was involved, seems to suggest a picture of a small percentage of the total base, but a very complex criminality element to investigate and to detect, especially where those nearest are the ones involved.
And deceased estate fraud is also another rising issue.
Absolutely. We see it more in the asset management and investment space, of course. We're starting to see small tricklings of those types of matters entering into the insurance industry. And again, we do unfortunately see a lot of criminality in the sense that documents are being either stolen or otherwise obtained from the likes of the master's office. In some cases, of course, this is not a blanket statement. And in some cases, individuals are just merely fabricating information that they obtain from the Department of Justice websites. Certainly something that we're keeping a big eye on. The prevented amount was a staggering $146 million in 2023.
Oh, that is a lot of money. And have you broken your study down into which provinces show higher fraud rates than others?
Yes, of course. I think the benefit that we've seen in the last 2 years, we've stabilized in terms of revising our statistics, which means that we're now in a position to start drawing proper year-on-year correlations in terms of where those trends are migrating and where they're most prevalent. KZN came up top. I think we saw a slight increase of 16% of cases in KZN. But the one that definitely caught our eye is the fact that we saw over a 60% increase in cases coming from the Western Cape. The other provinces are trickling in. We are seeing, of course, Gauteng being second in line and Eastern Cape and Western Cape being third and fourth, respectively.
So just a final one then, Jean, is there a specific approach that consumers need to adopt to reduce these risks, both, I guess, for themselves and for the industry as a whole? In other words, Jean, what can we do as consumers?
So, Jeremy, the first and foremost thing that I would like to advocate is consumers play a pivotal role in detecting fraud. So if consumers and your listeners on the line today, you can very easily Google the Insurance Fraud Hotline or the Insurance Line South Africa. That helps us to report fraud as any consumer may be suspecting fraud or suspect that somebody may be up to something that's no good. They can utilize those channels to report it, and they don't need to know exactly which insurance company the purported fraud may be happening at. It's an independent line, and it's operated by an independent audit firm. Now, more close to home, I always advocate that when you take a product, make sure that you understand what that product means. Make sure that you're not being enticed into signing anything that you don't understand. And this may be through the normal process of applying or somebody else applying on your behalf. Make sure you understand what you're taking. When you are getting your policy schedules, make sure you read them. Look out for anything that's untowards that may have changed without your authority. And lastly, I would recommend use the free tools available to check your credit record regularly. If you spot something that you did not incept, contact that product house immediately.
I'm going to leave it there. Jean van Niekerk, thank you very much indeed. Convener of the Forensic Standing Committee at the Association for Savings and Investment South Africa. I do appreciate your time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.